9, 10, 11. So there are 11 screens for four people in our office.
Sounds fair.
Which I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
Thus, the bridge.
Before the screens.
Beeps.
The beeps. Yes.
Beep.
So this I don't understand, and I'm trying to be sympathetic, Neil. I really am. But you have, you know, we had a tense conversation about the location of the ping pong table and the sounds and the grunts, and there's this ongoing guardianship of you interrupting Dan while he had headphones on to let him know his computer was beeping.
Yes.
There's also the passive aggressive mimic
of the beep,
mimicking the beep.
Yeah.
There's an actual beep, and then Neil says beep. Which is great, because Amanda would be sitting there with her headphones on, and then her computer is beeping and she's not hearing it. I don't have my headphones on. It's just Neil and I. And so then I get to hear it beep, and I get to hear Neil say beep.
It's great.
Which was generally followed by me going,
I hate beeping.
Hello, you're listening to episode 16 of The Flyover Effect, a podcast about startups, design, and all things internet. I'm Scott Rocketship, your producer and frequent co-host. Also on this program, you'll be hearing from Dan Shipton and Neil Roberts. The Flyover Effect is produced by BitMethod, a team of handsome and talented Midwesterners in Des Moines, Iowa. You can learn more about us at www.bitmethod.com. Today's episode is all about fun workflows, fun in software, turntable.fm, fun with Dropbox, no fun with banking, no fun with buses, and other such various things. Enjoy the show and have fun. I don't know. This has been bouncing around for a while. We got all... We've used Turntable off and on since it started. I mean, there's a pretty solid week there when it really caught on. But we've come back to it, you know, about once a week, if not more. I use it at home sometimes still.
Yeah.
But it's fun. And that was a big conversation that we had. It was just about... And I like the way you phrased it, Dan. I don't know if it was a tweet or a Google Reader shared item or something, but just talking about how there's still... You know, there are still great ideas out there that aren't complex, that can just be based on fun, on making things interesting, on making them fun. And I think that's a really compelling thought. I mean, BitMethod as a company, I don't think we've put out anything that was oriented around fun.
Yeah.
But if you take something like the 8035 app and the switcher, so it's we made a music festival app. And there's a schedule for Friday and Saturday. And we could have done a simple toggle switch or whatever. But Amanda got very excited, our designer, about this kind of old-timey pointing hand graphic that was part of the design package that we had. And Neil, you and she both worked hard to make that work.
Yep.
And it's just more fun. You know, I mean, it's a very functional app. I mean, you're looking up a schedule. But it was fun. And the star thing that we put in, too. You could favorite bands and... Neil identified an opportunity to make that aggregate and therefore, you know, I hate throwing social around as a buzzword, but made it kind of social because you were seeing what everybody else was doing. And that just made it a lot more fun. I really enjoyed seeing that stuff update as it went through.
I really like the hand thing. I mean, when we were working on the app, you know, she had this idea for maybe we could have a hand that points to Saturday, points to Sunday. And she kind of didn't really like the idea. She had it, but then she... kind of quickly backed off from it. I'm like, no, let's try it. I think this could be really kitschy or just weird. And she tried it and it looked really fun. And when we actually implemented it, it was just really fun to use. And, you know, it's something that I had forgotten about until you pointed it out. But it was really, really fun to use.
Well, and what's interesting about that to me as well is that objectively, if we really had to analyze it, it's less functional than a more explicit design.
Yep.
I mean, we could have made it more obvious. So we actually sacrificed some usability. And I even heard, I don't know if it was a review or just from someone, that they thought the switcher was a little confusing. And I kind of...
It is.
I processed it for a little bit and I was like, it is? And I don't care.
Yep.
Because it's more fun and it's not that complex. And if someone just tries to touch the word... or the abbreviation, you know, SAT and SUN, it's going to switch anyway.
Yeah.
So I didn't really care. I think that's very present in Turntable. They made a lot of, you know, this was by the Sticky Bits team, who took the kind of boring, I don't know if boring, but just the banal, the ugly QR codes concept and tried to do something fun with it. And just through beautiful design and really interesting concepts. Now they applied that to Turntable. You know, it's this, I mean, honest to God, like Turntable.fm looks like something that came out in 2003.
Yeah.
Like it's
way before that.
Yeah. It's just weird. But I love it.
I used to use this program called Worlds Away on CompuServe in 97 or something like that, a long time ago, and it looks very similar. The whole retro kind of feel is fun, and it's kind of coming back, and it's everywhere.
Have you guys seen 8-bit? Remember when all the everybody had the 8-bit avatars?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where they're going with it. It seems a little odd, but they're trying to add some fun to check-in. You know, and they've kind of got it's basically their own point system. And then you get a character and you design them and have a closet and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. That kind of stuff's interesting. It makes me think of, perhaps oddly, of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. And they added so many options of just like the relationships and the clothing and like going to the gym and really tweaking out your character. Like this is a franchise whose marketing was all based around being very hyper-violent and all of this stuff, and oh man, people are going to be so titillated by what this is. And then you spend the game running around like picking up flowers and going to the gym and trying on new sweaters. Like, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just a different kind of fun for people.
I think that there's something to be said about just being unexpected. You know, part of turntables appeal for me is like, wow, I've never looked at music like that. I mean, we have, right? In real life, you sometimes do that. And you can collaboratively play songs and vote within the iTunes system with your iPhones and the remote software. But just today, got a package from a cable company for our sister company, Grand Consulting. In there was a little package, a little, not even envelope, a little plastic package that had some mints in it. And Josh was, you know, I came in and he's like, look at this. Like, I got this with the cables. He's like, you want a mint? And he went on for a minute about how this cable company on the internet is awesome and that he's going to continue to order cables from them because they put some mints in a box.
Oh, cable. Okay, I'm caught up. Cable's like wires, not cable like cable TV.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
I was thinking about how restaurants that are fun, you're willing to spend a lot more money there over a normal restaurant for the same amount of food simply because they're more fun. Like, it's something that we already know is true from all sorts of real-world stuff.
It's staggering to me how few restaurants understand that.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems obvious. It seems so, so obvious. I mean, why does... Now, this is a watered-down, terrible, awful, culture-draining version of fun. But why do TGIFs and Chili's and all these places have all this shit nailed to the wall? Because it's more interesting than white walls. It's just something. You're in there and you see, oh, look at that picture of the monkey. It's something, you know, but it adds an experience. You don't have that at home.
Yep.
You don't.
Like, I mean, for me, I go to Mullet's every Saturday with my girlfriend every Saturday morning. And there's a really good wait staff there Saturday mornings. I don't know if it's true the rest of the week because I never go there otherwise. There are days where we have a lot more fun with the wait staff than other days. And it's just a really good experience. We go mostly because the days that we do have fun, it's really, really fun. It's something that's worth having everywhere.
Well, think of your first experience at Mullet's too. Like that's people who aren't from Des Moines are probably laughing at the name. Yep. And as well you should be. They have it's ostensibly it's themed around the fish because it's on the river and they have the big mullet fish as their sign. But they play with it. There's a lot of mullet themed menu items. They have pictures of dudes and hockey players with mullets all over inside the restaurant. That's the kind of place you take somebody who's never been to Des Moines before.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody comes from out of town, you're gonna take them there because it's whether or not the food's good, which it is, whether or not the wait staff's good, which most of the time I've been there, it is, it's fun. It's just fun. And that's, you know, I just started using this journaling app called Day One.
Yeah.
And it's journaling. I'm writing things in a text field and hitting save. I've had Evernote. I've used Omail. I've had written journals. And I never kept up with them. Day One, I don't know. It's just fun. It's a sleek interface. It sits in my menu bar. I can set reminders. It just pops up once in a while. And I don't feel guilty about only putting in a line or two of text. It's made it fun for me. And I've done, in 3 days, I've added like 20 journal entries, which is more than I think I've done in the last 12 months.
It makes me wonder if this whole idea of fun is ever useful. It seems like the idea of fun is always not necessarily counter-useful, but that it's always the stuff that is after the fact, right? You build a restaurant, then you make it fun. nothing about the utility of the restaurant is fun. It's all of the extras to the experience in the same way that a journaling app, right? It's they've taken it, they've done the utility, and the part that's fun happened after the fact.
Maybe. I think it might have to do with like how they want your outlook on a particular app or restaurant to be. I just read a Hacker News thread, and this guy was talking about procrastination, and you know that procrastination is all about getting yourself to basically man up and just do what you need to do and stop procrastinating. And for him, he was like, well, what if you just looked at it? What if you framed it up differently? What if you framed it up as opportunity? Like, I get to do this awesome stuff, and the work is still the same. I think there's a huge parallel there with a restaurant. Like, you could make a restaurant, and you could put servers in there, and they could wait on people. And then you could, like, just give them a mint at the end. Or, like, you could make it part of the experience and make it integrated into what their, I don't know, brand stands for or how they operate. Like, mm-hmm. We just operate in a fun manner, right? That's how we do it.
But I would say that, by definition, you can't have fun that is separate from the utility.
Right.
Take a place like a McDonald's that has a kids play area. If you go to a McDonald's and the McDonald's is very clean and very nice and it has the attached play area, it's easy to get to, the general atmosphere is very fun. That's a nice experience. If you go there and the staff that takes your order is just terrible and unhappy and loud and the place is dirty, and then they have a fun play area next to it,
like it's not fun.
It's not fun. Like, yeah. The utility and the fun are very important to each other. I don't think you can have the fun without the utility.
So here's my pseudo deep thinking on this thing coming into this episode. I think fun is very natural, and I think something has gotten really warped in our society that it is viewed that we feel guilty about being happy, that we feel guilty about having fun, that we feel guilty about enjoying what we're doing, about enjoying productive work. If you think about it, like, I don't know, watch a Discovery Channel documentary on native cultures, you know, these people like still living in the rainforest and haven't done much of what we would consider development for the past couple thousand years. And they're just happy. Like, everything just looks fun. They're washing their clothes by hand and they're grinding meal and all of these terrible, laborious things that we just abhor in the first world. And they're having fun. Like, they're just enjoying themselves. Like, what's happened that we've gotten to the point where, like, things are either, like, I think it's what you're saying, Neil, is like, some things are in the serious category and some things are in the fun category. Well, why do these categories exist? Just have fun.
Oh, one of my favorite images is, like, a little kid pushing an inner tube down the street with a stick. Like, it's a common image when they're showing, like, this is a lower class neighborhood, but people have fun. It's always that little kid pushing the inner tube and just having the most fun in the world. Like, it's something that we all want to do no matter what our situation. Like, everyone wants to have fun.
That's why I like our extended group of friends, is that it seems to me like we as adults got together at Igor's house one time and built a slip and slide.
Yeah.
Like, that was not expensive. That was, you know, nobody was embarrassed about it. We just did it. It was just a fun thing.
There's like cards for me.
Yeah.
Like, cards. It's basic, right? It's just cards have been around forever. I cannot be happier when I am beating other people in cards, playing cards. But some people are like, well, that's not fun. To have fun, I need to like play a video game.
It's like have a checklist.
Yeah,
like,
I need to go to the bar, and yeah. then I'll have fun.
Well, you didn't get dressed up for this. Like, you didn't have to pay somebody to get in to do it. Like, that's really warped, I think. And it carries over into software in a big way. Like, well, this thing's free, or this is utilitarian. Like Dropbox. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if fun's the right word, but...
I think it's fun. But I don't know why.
Dropbox is kind of fun.
Yeah. It's because it's magic.
Yeah.
Look, I just dropped that file in. Boom.
Yeah, there. And I hop on another computer, and there it is. And I'm able to surprise myself because I forget that I put something in Dropbox. I have a need. there it is, or pull it up on my phone. That's fun. That's really fun. And well, it's just, yeah, it's kind of magical.
I've had some discussions just real world about some people that I may or may not know that don't seem to have a good time ever. And thinking about that, thinking about software, makes me think that all of this gamification stuff that people are doing, all of this like forced fun that people have, my friends that don't seem to have fun, like the way that I've described it is that they seem to be waiting for fun to happen to them. And I think that's the attitude that a lot of these app developers have taken, is that they have to make fun happen to the people that are using their services. In Foursquare, you have to give someone points. You have to force them to have fun. And I don't think it's that way at all. I don't think it should be that way.
Happy people will have fun with whatever you give them. I think we're kind of lucky, I guess, in Des Moines that people have really taken to Twitter. Even in really big communities like Reddit, like just big online communities, there's still this really prevailing sentiment of Twitter being just this big effing waste of time, and I don't get it, and it's all these vain people talking about the sandwiches that they ate.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like, man, you just don't have any fun, do you?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I hear. It's like, you just hate fun.
They want Twitter to make it fun for them.
Yeah.
Like, Twitter has to be set up in such a way that I have fun. And that's the weirdest attitude.
We were talking about this in relation to client services and like the clients from hell blog.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was you. How some of those things you're like, yeah, you could get all pissed off about like this client saying, oh, it should be green or whatever. But if you were looking at it like work, of course, that's might be the way you would want to go. But if you were looking at it as fun, you'd be like, no, like we've got this whole box of crayons and we can, whatever it is, but you can spin it in a fun way.
What was it? It was like, there's one that really irked me that was, I don't know, like the client asked for, to see if the website could be, I think maybe even it was fun. I think one of the posts was like, you know, I want this website to be 10%
more
fun.
Yeah.
And that was on Clients from Hell. So the premise there is that a designer or someone or a website developer is complaining and saying, this person is awful for asking me to make the website more fun. And presumably what they're complaining about is that that's not a very clear instruction. You know, well, okay, how do I do that? How do I measure it? Fine. But that's your f***ing job.
You get to inject life. You get to inject happiness into something that you had done. They weren't happy with it being boring.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of a, I don't know, if somebody was to go, hey, like, this is a little boring. Can we make it more awesome?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, yes. And I'm going to kind of take the gloves off and we're going to make it a lot more awesome.
Well, the other big lesson from Clients from Hell, I would say, is that if you don't enjoy teaching people, you should not be in client services.
Yeah.
Because you just have to. How awful and pretentious to just assume that the clients that you have are going to know everything or have the words to express what they need. It's just absurd on its face.
So this whole thing has me thinking about, Dan and I went to South by Southwest a couple of years ago, and we saw Zay Frank give a talk.
The king of fun.
The king of fun. The guy that kind of invented the meme, mm-hmm. right? What was amazing about that presentation is he talked, the general idea of the conversation was, allow room for your users to inject emotion into the products that you build. The example that he gave during the talk is he built an app that let you make flowers. You know, choose the color, choose how many petals, choose very basic things about it. And he let you name the flower. And he said what happened one day is that someone went onto the site, made a flower, saved it, and called the flower, I just lost my job. And the way that the site was written, it showed the last like 20 entries. So someone went there, saw this guy that made a flower that said, I just lost my job, and like made another flower and said, I'm sorry. And it turned into this conversation, like this living conversation that people had.
I'm like tearing up over here. That's awesome.
It was really cool. And so, you know, we're the path that we've gone on in this whole fun conversation is kind of like people need to make fun on their own and we should make it possible.
Furthermore,
it seems the same track is right there.
When Zay was actually presenting this, he took that and he actually embraced it.
Yep.
Right? Oh, it wasn't these guys took my site and were doing stuff I didn't want them to do. He was like, look at this. This is awesome. And was showing, like, telling a story about how people were using a site and how much fun as a result of people using his site he was having.
Well, it's like the Dropbox thing, right? It's Dropbox isn't fun. The things that you do with it are fun, and you have to allow yourself to enjoy that.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of grumpy people that use Dropbox too. Yeah. But
I mean, you could the same person, you know, the same experience of having a file sync like magic across to someone else's computer, you could complain about it because it could take so long. You know, if it's a large file, it might take a minute or two to upload. Like, it's still magic.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think through this now. Like, so there's some stuff that is seemingly never fun, or there's some brands especially that are seemingly never fun. And I'm trying to figure out why that is. So like Dropbox, I would agree, is not making any...
There's no animation.
There's no explicit effort to make it fun, right? There's not... I mean, it's nice and contemporary and clean design, but there's not... You know, they don't have mascots running around on their website, and they don't have like little bits of snarky copy everywhere. It's kind of vanilla, you know?
Yeah.
But the service lets itself be fun. Compare that to, I don't know, like most people's bank, you know? Dan, you were interacting with the bank today, and it's just this frustrating... awful experience, and I don't, it, that wasn't like a one-time thing. Your next interaction with the bank is not going to be this joyous, fun, happy thing, and I don't think that has to do with your attitude.
No,
I don't think you walked in there with a bad attitude. It's just a crappy experience.
I get so, when it's so apparent what should be done or how they should be operating, and when they are explicitly choosing to operate in a manner that is against their users, it makes me infuriated. Like, it just makes me so mad, right? In the last month and a month and a half ago, my debit card from work, the bank decides to randomly replace it. They're like, I don't know, there might be some fraud. We're going to do the right thing. Here's a new card. That's fine. Then, like, 2 weeks later, that card actually gets hacked and is used wherever. And then they call me and say, hey, fraudulent activity, we're going to send you yet another new card. And it had a really high it had a really high daily spending limit. We're like, well, we should lower that spending limit. And then if we need to, we'll just call in and just raise it as we need it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, I need to make a purchase above said spending limit. And so I call in, hey, you know, like, I need to make this purchase today. It's above my spending limit. Can you bump it up for me? And they're like, well, that takes a few days. One, for anything like that to propagate, and it would be permanent too. So, if you'd like to permanently raise your balance or the spending limit on your card, you can. And I'm like, so you're telling me that you can't just raise it and for a day? I know that people do this, and they're like, no. And that makes me mad because it's a computer. Like, the computer can act instantaneously. Like, I can download gigabytes of information from the other side of the world in seconds, and you can't.
Or we can have people doing high frequency trading where they're selling millions or billions of dollars of stock in microseconds, but your bank can't raise your nanoseconds. Your bank can't raise your spending limit. And you know, if you really think that through, the people who made that decision, like, imagine the meeting where that decision got made. They were not happy, joyful people in a fun, upbeat, like, they don't have a ping pong table. Like, maybe they need to get the people who made that decision a ping pong table and paint their office orange and let them drink beer on Fridays while they're doing a podcast, because they probably would decide, you know what? That makes us jerks.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be a jerk. And let's be happy.
For them, think about it. Like, they've had to issue me two new cards in the last month and a half. They've had to deal with fraud on my account in the last 2 months and a half. For them, I would think the most sane path to take is get people's cards, like, daily spending limits as low as possible, and then make raising that limit up extremely, extremely easy. Because then if there is fraud, you know, they're not going to get taken to the bank for it, because they have to eat that fraud.
Well, this ties into something that we've been doing in our company, which is kind of doing design for a new kind of statement of work that we've been doing, which is that being forced to follow a specific workflow is terrible. Dan is forced to undergo the workflow that they've created for him.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot think of workflows where it is enjoyable to go through a bunch of different steps the way that someone has prescribed you do it, whether or not they decide that it should be fun. If there's a little, you know, turtle on the bottom or a paperclip, like wishing you luck as you go through 20 steps, it's never going to be fun no matter how much animation they add to it. Like,
or if we were giving people points.
Yeah.
You know, like that has not crossed our minds during this process. Like we're adding new features to an existing product. We're adding new workflows to something people are already familiar with. And just naturally, there was no verdict from on high. Dan, I don't remember you telling us, guys, you need to make this as fun as you can.
Nope.
I don't remember the client telling us, hey, guys, make this as fun as you can. That's just natural. And I don't know why we would do anything different.
You know, one of the things we decided as we were doing this, where we had this workflow, is let's let the users choose how to branch their workflow at this one point. Mm-hmm. And fun is a bad word to describe it, but it's going to be pleasant to be able to pursue the path in the way that best fits you. You know, you get to inject fun into it. If you start putting in funny numbers and seeing what it gives you, you're able to go within this weird workflow. You're going to be able to have fun with it if you want.
I think this is something that kindergarten elementary teachers really have figured out. Mm-hmm. Like if the subject, student, customer, user, whatever is going to have to do something,
yep,
give them as much freedom as you can, right? So if you need, like I'm remembering some class, I don't know what class it was, but you know, we had to have little name tags on our desk. Well, okay, why not let the kids make it and decorate it and choose the colors? It's not going to hurt anything. It might take a little bit more of your time, but it's going to get people excited. Let them have fun with it. Let them express themselves. And it's, I don't know.
And how happy you are while you're doing that. You know, for me, calling the bank, not a big deal. I walk away and so I wasn't very happy. And it was probably amplified because they didn't sound very happy. They were like, oh, I've got to talk to this guy. Same thing. I went to the Iowa State Fair, had to get on a bus. Like, they take exact change. And that's not a big deal that they don't, like, that I need exact change to ride the bus. But the guy, the driver, was not very nice about it. Right? He was kind of a dick about it. And he just, no way, I don't take exact change only. And he's like, kind of looks away. And so we've got like a kid in tow and we're like, okay.
And you guys don't ride the bus every day.
Yeah, we don't ride it's an like, Iowa State shuttle, right? It's an Iowa State Fair shuttle. So like it's set up to take a lot of people to the fair 10 days out of the year. So you're going to have a lot of riders that have never seen it. There wasn't a sign outside in the staging area saying it takes exact change or what to do if you don't have exact change. We're just like, okay, we're like on the bus, people behind us, and the guy's telling us he's not going to take our money. And he was kind of a jerk about it. And I'm just like, I'm okay. I get off the bus and we're like, okay, what do we do now?
Thinking of the bank thing, like isolation breeds contempt, right? Like I think just, you know, if this guy is master of the universe, 8-10 hours a day, same with these people in bank land, they don't see you. You're not standing in front of them. The more you automate, and that's what's tough for software people is like Dropbox could have been jerks about a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they've gone through some fiascos lately, and I don't know. They've been pretty open about
it. They've been nice. I mean, you know, for that bus driver, just say, sorry, man, right? Like, empathize just a little bit. Empathize just a little bit and say, hey, just check with some of the guys that are, you know, back behind you. I'm sure it will work out.
You know he's a worker bee. There's no point where I think you would have assumed this guy made the decision.
Not to do the change thing. That's fine. Like, you know, probably people thought I was mad about the change, but I'm not. Like, just be nice about the interaction. Just empathize and say, here's how you might unjam yourself because you don't know.
So the experience that I had with making change is that we had a great person on the bus, and a lady came in that she didn't have the right change to go on. She had she had two people, so there are two people in her group. She had a $5 bill. Mm-hmm. The guy that was collecting money was like, okay, well, what we're going to do is I'm going to take your $5 bill. We're going to take a dollar from the next person that comes in and give you a dollar from the next person that comes in. And then I'm going to run the $6 through for the three people that come in.
You use your common sense. And I think that's...
And be nice in the process.
Yeah. I think that's kind of been the thread through a lot of this is fun is natural and being kind should be natural. And what frustrates people is doing what's not obvious, what's not natural.
Well, I think it's the dead ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? The dead ends. Yeah. I mean, that for me, that was it.
I like this whole direction of viewing fun as a workflow. Like I really enjoy the whole idea that you have to have something underneath that gives it structure. You have to let users have places where they can diverge from the path. even if it's not very big, even if it's something is giving something a special name, even if it's just like, you need a choice or two, and preventing dead ends. I think that, you know, talking about the bank, it's a dead end. They're saying there's no way we can do anything about this. That is going to kill any pleasant experience. So this whole idea of just having some control over your destiny, I think people are going to inject fun into any of that.